Good morning, good morning, good morning. Let's see here. A little bit. Turn up the headphones a little bit. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, hey.
Hey. Morning, everybody. Welcome to News of My Fiancé with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. Today.
Morgan Jones is here.
Okay. Slow down. Today, Morgan Jones is not here. And all of our faithful listeners know. And probably can relate, some of you, I'm sure, the migraines are doing the things again.
Oh, the debilitating things.
The debilitating things.
I gotta do radio things?
Yeah, what?
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
The brain is broken in all the most painful way.
All the way.
So,
yeah.
Ref steps in and the referee is me.
Bam. So we got, you know, friend of the show, previous guest.
Long time listener.
Long time texter.
Subscriber. the most notified.
Man, Morgan's cousin Lily is here. Good morning. How are you, Lil?
Good morning. You know, it's you and Morgs who get me at this ungodly hour. Both personally and professionally. because this hour is for the wicked.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's amazing how we've gotten used to it. Like, seriously. And as I swear, like, there are times when we get the news written maybe a day or two early and we're not up till whatever o'clock in the morning.
Right, right.
The news, it's like, yeah, okay, cool. We'll get ahead of it. And the following next week, it'll be like, we've never done this before. So last night, I got the news done maybe around like 11. Yeah, around 11. I was completely done with the news and a couple other things I need to do. So I'm on the couch.
Yeah.
With Kay. And I closed my laptop.
I was on the couch with Bree.
You were on the couch with Bree. And I closed my laptop. And she's like, so you're done? I was like, yeah. She's like, oh, are you going to bed already? And I was like, I got to get up at 6:30, bro. And she's like, oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot. You got the news tomorrow. So then I was like, well, I haven't played PS4 today. All right. I said, okay. Oh, you got me to 11:30. I'll kick it on you. Kick it with you on the couch at 11:30. You want to know what time I played Death Stranding till?
Well, I do.
Yeah.
Are you requesting a guess from me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Guess away.
I'm going to guess away because just on another note, you know, as I have, we share custody with Kay and Bree. So I've got Bree right now.
Right.
And so we were on the couch. She had begged me to finish out the U.S., Love Island.
Oh, okay.
And at 11:30, we get to the last episode. And I'm like, do we do it? And she was like, yeah. I go, how many hours is it? Is it 2 hours? And she was like, yeah. And I go, I think we can start it, but we're not going to finish it tonight. And she was like, right. You have news in the morning. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
So anywho, if I go based on how much of that show we watched, which was pushing the limits. we turned that television off at midnight.
Okay.
I'm going to go. You live on the edge a little harder. I'm going to say you turned off that PS4 at 12:14.
Ooh. You know what? I like 12:14. I wish I liked 12:14 enough to have turned it off at 12:14.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't cut it off till 1.
Oh.
And I'm sitting here like, dude, you were done with the news at 11. You just ate 2 hours of sleep for literally no reason.
You had the ability to be well rested.
Come on, man. I had position. And what am I doing? Yeah. So, yes.
But you knew that I was going to be here. And you were like, you know what? I could throw it to Lil all day.
All day. Pitch it back and forth. Boom, boom. Oh my god.
Pride with the Teens, though. Right? That really was it, right?
That was it. That was it.
Kay Hang tell one?
No.
Okay.
She was that like 11:40.
Deuce's dad.
She's like, all right, dad. And I'm like, well, I'm in it now.
Oh, yeah.
I got to get these packages delivered. You guys talking about?
Explain the premise of this game real quick.
Okay.
You guys, I have to give you just a little bit of background. You know, 90s kid over here. You as well.
Damn right.
Morgan and our cousin Paul stayed up with the technologies. My mom was not ever going to allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. She didn't believe in the video games. So when I was in middle school, she also, queen of the garage sales, came home all excited. Lil, I got you a video game at a garage sale. And whoa. I was like, me?
For me.
For this one right here?
What?
I'm expecting Nintendo.
Right.
I want a Duck Hunt in my bedroom.
Right. She got your ColecoVision or something?
She got me an Atari. Uh-oh. Where the joystick was on the console.
Oh.
I was the
what?
Pitfall master.
Okay. Okay.
Jumping over snakes.
Yes. Pitfall Harry. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that pitfall was stick figures, if you'll remember.
8-bit. Yep.
So, anywho, that's where I ended my video game career. So, gotcha. Tell me everything.
Okay. And I can imagine, you know, having... So for our listeners having a similar background, sorry. They hear me say deliver a package. It was just playing Paperboy. What's happening?
I was just going to say that sounded kind of like it could be a war game, but maybe not.
All right.
Are you an Amazon master? What's going on? USPS.
Man.
FedEx?
That probably would be kind of a tight
game. Oh, I would sort like a mother.
Man.
Anyway.
Yes. So first off, morning, everybody. Hey.
Hey, good morning. Sorry.
It is. You are tuned into the right show. We're here talking video games.
Sorry.
You know? Ish. So, yes, Morgan is out today. Lily has joined us. Definitely chime in, say good morning. Make sure we can hear you. You can hear us because, you know, sometimes I have the wrong buttons pushed in here. Mm-hmm. But, yes, so Death Stranding is a game that came out in, like, what did we get? 2021. I think it came out, like, 2019, 2020.
Okay.
And
just amidst COVID, they're like, yeah, you know what's about to happen,
dude,
we're gonna get all you,
all of the trailers I saw for it, it was like, this game is gorgeous, like it's just beautiful.
Okay,
so what you're basically doing is gonna sound weird. You are a courier, you're a porter, and yes, you're carrying packages from one destination to the next, and you start out on foot. As you progress through the game, you have access to different vehicles, motorcycles, trucks, things like that.
Who delivers the mails on a motorcycle? Oh,
so here it is. The environment you're in, it's like mainly like it's the U.S., but it's post-apocalyptic.
Oh,
so like, you know,
and it's gorgeous
because so much time has passed,
oh,
that so much nature has taken over.
Oh, hell yeah.
So there's grass and trees and nature all over the place.
Okay.
So you see remnants of buildings here and there. But for the most part, it's, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is. So you can't just like navigate like you normally would.
Okay.
Because there are no roads. So part of your progress as you're delivering packages and moving different resources to different locations is you're gathering the resources to build the roads to drive the trucks and stuff on. There are people out there trying to steal packages from you. There's like little renegade groups.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And then the main mission is to go from the East Coast to the West Coast, connecting all the different communities along the way.
You know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing post-apocalyptic Oregon Trail.
It's the prepper, man.
Do you have to kill vermin along the way?
You know, it's...
Do you have to shoot anything?
What's strange?
Are you armed? What vehicle are you in currently?
I was going to say, what's strange about is we don't see as many animals as we should. But and I'm sure they covered that somewhere in the... in one of the background stories that I just probably, you know, didn't pay attention to.
But we've got no bears. We've got, well, it is post-apocalyptic, yeah, right? They really could have any kind of thing survive ever.
That's interesting. Yeah, there's no fish in the streams or anything.
Hey, all right, listeners, if you have created this game, because we know you're listening, we're going to need you to text in and tell us.
Give us some insight.
Where are the animals?
So, your question was...
Are you armed?
Oh, okay. So, here's the thing. Part of why we're in this post-apocalyptic world is because something... There was like some data thing that happened alongside with some future tech that they were, you know, experimenting on.
WikiLeaks meets Space Force.
Which also dealt with afterlife. So now the conditions under which we live is if someone dies, their body has to be taken to an incinerator.
Okay.
You can't just bury them. Because if you let their body sit too long before it's incinerated, they turn into this thing that's called a BT. And the BT is like, it's like a zombie ghost. And it floats all over the place, and it can take you. It's completely disruptive to everything. Like you can die from these things.
Well, of course you can.
And they're all over the game.
Oh.
And the rain that takes place in this game is called Timefall.
Okay.
And it corrodes and deteriorates anything it touches. Like, so if there was a photo, but it does it like it pushes it through time. So if there was a photo of me and you,
yeah,
like an actual like Polaroid, right?
Okay.
And a drop of Timefall hit it, we would age in the photo.
Oh!
It's
And I would age way faster than you because of our genetic makeup. Nice.
Well, Timefall doesn't discriminate. Everyone would age equally.
Let the time equal fall. Age. You know what I heard in that whole thing?
What?
I heard corruption.
Yeah.
I heard danger.
Yeah.
I heard topics we're going to cover in today's news.
Absolutely. So, yeah, like, so the game is one part adrenaline rush when you're dealing with, you know, packages the being stolen and trying to pull together. Yeah, yeah, all your resources.
Have you ever broken into a package?
You can't open them.
Okay.
You can take them to distribution. It's like, you know what you're carrying.
Okay.
And sometimes you have to carry bodies to the incinerator.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank God someone's getting in there.
But that's the other thing. In your confrontations with other, like, people that are trying to steal stuff from you, you can only, for the most part, you can only use non-lethal weapons. Because if you kill them, then you have to stop everything you're doing and take them to the incinerator.
And you don't have a box to put them in. So you just got bodies in the back of what vehicle have you reached yet?
Yep. I got everything. I got the trucks now. I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, covered trucks. You know, I've already beat the game, but that was just need to play all these little delivery missions.
And well,
building the infrastructure.
I like
it. Yeah. 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 So, well,
I could see how that could get you until 1 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like you're itching to get back to it.
Oh, I got to chill. I got to chill. So, like I said, it came out like 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I played it for a little bit back then, and then was like, and moved on. And I do that a lot. Like, I'll buy games as soon as they come out, really excited about it, play it for a while, never play it for, like, years, and then come back, because I just keep getting other games. I'm more of a collector. Come back and be like, oh, well, here it is. All right.
So fancy meeting you here.
Right.
So I'm glad I didn't put you in the garage sale. I actually
finished the game. By now, I have a PS5. So I went back to the PS4 to play this game, right? And I'm like, man, all right, part two is going to come out on PS5 soon. That's cool. So I'm looking at some, like, you know, player videos and just watching some gameplay. And they're playing this director's cut version. And I was like, wow, that's got a bunch of different features on it.
Yeah.
I wonder how much that's going to be. Oh, wait, that came out back then for the PS5. So I went back to the PS4 to play this.
Right.
And I could have been playing it on PS5. With all these new features and better graphics and everything.
So many more animals.
And I'm like,
well,
do I buy the director's cut on PS5? Sure. Let me see how much it is. Not for that price, I'm not.
No.
No.
No. Because guess what? We're into the originals anyway. So you can take your revamp and price it reasonably.
Like, get out of here.
Are there more animals even?
No.
Is the timefall more intense?
They got better cars.
Of course they do.
And other things you can do.
I know we should move on, but real quick. At what point does this fully just morph into... Oh, see, already. What's the game where you go around and you're driving and you're doing all the hijinks?
Oh, Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, when does it turn into that?
It literally is that. Like, oh, it's an open world game in the way that you can do the missions in whatever order. You don't have to just follow the main mission.
Oh,
you
nice.
You can just go anywhere and do anything.
Oh, so you can wild out.
Yeah, I love those games. That's the best. Yeah, Grand Theft Auto definitely prepared me for, like, Red Dead Redemption and Death Stranding.
Have you ever watched someone who's terrible at video games play Grand Theft Auto?
No.
Oh, it is amazing. That should, you know what? That could be Patreon
content. Okay, all right.
Moving on.
So, we did want to discuss a couple of things before we got into, before we got into our stories.
Yes.
definitely, if anyone is unaware, the Keller Fountain has reopened. I DJ'd the reopening, and I think there was like a info session, I guess you could call it, for the renovations they want to do with the Keller.
Okay.
I've seen the renderings. They look absolutely amazing.
I bet. I mean, to be honest, it's a beautiful fountain as it is, right? I've loved it. So.
Yeah, I've never been in it. And as I was prepping that morning, I've seen people like, I didn't know you could like go all the way down and like behind the falls.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was watching some families go back there. I'm like, that's really dope. I didn't know you could do that.
They were lying and telling their kids it was Multnomah Falls on an adventure.
Yeah. We're going to the falls downtown. To the falls, downtown guys. Falls.
You know There's it.
Different falls, guys. they did some cleaning to the sides of it and they were saying, that I think it was Parks. So there's two different associations. There's Parks and Rec, and then there's like there's the Park Foundation.
Yes.
So I can't remember who said what, but they were like, no, you know, they can't use whatever cleaning equipment or chemicals they wanted to use at that particular part of the fountain. So it looks like it's clean and gray on the sides, and then in the middle it's gold still from all the water. But I remember looking at the run of show. And I'm like, oh, a lot of the people that we talk about on our show are going to be at this event.
Oh.
So luckily for me, like I was the MC and DJ, but I introduced other people that introduced other people.
Right.
So I didn't have to introduce the mayor or Mingus Maps or Renee Gonzalez or Dan Ryan.
You didn't have to.
Yeah.
I guess the perk to that is you don't have to, refrain from introducing any of them how you would like to.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah. That.
I could be so creative here and probably lose this gig. So moving on.
Yeah. So that was fun. It was 11:30 to 1:30 last Friday.
It's nice to know they do show up for some public things.
Listen, Cambodia was there. Like all the news outlets were there. It was a little turn up. It really was. It was dope. So hey, that was like 11:30 to 1:30. Then bam, you know, I had to go to a DJ camp, do the last day of that.
Did anybody make any requests while you were there?
You know what's interesting?
Legitimately, people would have or could.
So I played one song. I played it. It was a song by Tom Mitch. And someone came up to me.
Who Brianna just introduced me to.
Nice, right?
I was like, where has he been my whole life? And she said, I thought everybody knew about him. And I was like, you're so cool.
That's typical Brie.
So
typical
cool.
Brie. Yeah. So I played a song by Tom Mitch. And dude was like, oh, man, Tom Mitch, absolutely amazing. You start talking a little bit. And I was like, yeah, that journey he did with De La is really, really dope. And he was like, play that. And I'm like, you know me, I wanted to give the nod. Like, oh, yeah, definitely going to throw that on.
Dude, for you,
that's not going to fit here. Do you know how many announcements I got to make right now? Like, yeah,
please.
I might have spun a total of 40 minutes within the 2 hours. There was a lot of me introducing.
So much verbiage,
there was mad performances. It was dope. I mean, their whole thing was they want to make sure people understand what they want the future of the Keller to look like.
Yeah.
So being able to have vendors down there, food vendors, beverage vendors. Yeah, like they block the street off.
Okay.
And having the, they had performances down on the fountain.
Really?
Yes, down in there. And then there was a stage right in front of the auditorium where I was, and there were a couple of performers and announcements up there. So it was really, I was like, okay, all right.
I'm here for it. So in the new construction, which in this room, there's only, it's so exclusive, only one person has seen seen the schematics, if you will, is my stage there. Like, was that taken into consideration?
You know what?
For all time.
I feel like I remember seeing something referencing your specific stage.
Mine, right.
We can check. I think it's 21stcenturykeller.org, something of that nature. If you just Google, sure it'll come up. And I'm pretty sure there's a tab that shows the performance areas, and your stage would be listed there.
Oh, well, of course. It might be under a different name. I did, in my request, say, if you must name it after Ted Wheeler, that's fine, but it would always be mine.
Not under a different name, possibly.
I just want to shoot all the music videos there. Anywho. Okay.
All right, so yeah.
So that was one.
That was one, definitely. The Oregon wildfire, which I haven't been paying a whole lot of attention to, but I did see some, like, I think I'm so Portland now, I'm so Oregon now, that when something that used to cause, like, you know, great concern and, like,
oh, huge. Yeah.
Like from, you know, from the East Coast, it's like, what is a wildfire? What? No, do something about it. Make it, tame it.
Right.
Why does this happen every single
water,
year?
Water, please.
Right.
Anything.
So, like, I'm so used to the environments, the conditions under which a wildfire happens now. It's like normal to me.
Right.
That this one making the news was like, okay, yeah, it's that season again. But they're saying this wildfire is so out of control. Like, they said it's creating its own weather patterns.
You guys, like, that this thing is
huge.
Insane to me. So, growing up, I met one of my today still best friends. Shout out Brendan Fitzpatrick. He moved here from Bend, and his dad, Mike, one of the best people on the planet, was a smoke jumper back in Bend. And
what's a smoke jumper?
They're the ones that, like, get into fight, like, where you're, it's like danger times a million.
Okay.
Right? So you're doing,
so like the Navy SEALs of firefighters.
Yes. Who then in his latter career and in his retirement even goes in to predict wildfires so they can figure out proper staffing of it. So I lightweight want to text Mike and be like,
what's happening?
Please, can you tell me what's happening in Turkey right now?
Right.
Creating its own weather system.
Bruh, this is brand new to me. I was like, okay, so this is serious business. Serious, serious business.
Yeah. My other brother in love who lives in Southern Oregon, like 2 years back when we had another, you know, crazy wildfire. He's fairly rural, and he was telling us, like, I'm watching it come over the back of my property.
My gosh.
And had he not gone and fell, he put a fire line at the top of the property.
Okay.
Had he not done that, like, that valley could have been engulfed. Yeah. Totally nuts.
Man, that's, yeah. So you fell some trees? Is that what you're talking
about? Oh, so many. Do you like felling trees?
Well,
do you want to fell some trees?
Kinda.
Yeah.
It's just that homestead rescue, man.
Oh,
it's got me. We told the listeners about it. They need to watch the show.
Oh, the Rainies. So good.
It's just, it's incredible.
John will take you down there. You, John, and Dan can go fell some trees, and John loves it.
Man.
That and getting out and doing some fishing, like in the ocean.
You know I love the fishing.
Yeah. You guys should do a weekend.
Yeah.
I'll make that happen.
Yes.
Hey, guys, please text in at that doesn't make sense with the texting doing an at, right?
Yeah, you could.
Anyway, shout out John Middleton and John Middleton. Dan and John and be like, you better take Am. Am needs to fell some trees. He needs to get his country on. He needs to get out of the ocean.
And also, I would take recommendations for fishing locations.
Yes.
Any local ones. Something that's maybe it's half an hour drive, if that away. Oh, half an hour is good. Yeah. You know? Yeah, I'll take that.
And then we'll have a big fish fry, guys.
Bam.
Speaking of fish.
You know I love frying the fish.
Oh, first of all, it's unbelievable what Am does. And the first time I experienced it, we were in Sun River. And that was, we did a collab for dinner one night. That was dumb. And I learned so many tips and tricks. However, we do have one super salty teenager at my house because she leaves and Am decides to bring out the greatest hits like salt or saltfish and java cakes, right?
Yeah.
And then you happened to let it out the bag that oxtails might be a thing.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, warning.
So MJ and I talked. She said she did talk to you.
Yeah.
We're going to do a family dinner soon.
Yes.
And we're just going to do the oxtails together.
Well, good, because she was about to pop up for dinner.
Yeah, she was gone.
Hey, guys, I'm home for the night. Don't worry. My driver will be back around 9. If we could speed this up.
My driver will be back momentarily. Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, yeah. Okay, so the stories we're covering this week.
Let's do it.
Local stories. Rene Gonzalez's controversial nod sparks outrage among Portland progressives.
Rene. Who is that guy?
He cannot keep himself out of trouble, that guy.
No.
In national news, Biden calls for Supreme Court reform in his final 6 months of presidency.
Wow, that sounds serious.
So I felt like something he was campaigning on, and now it's like, oh, I can just do it because I'm already the pres.
Campaigning on currently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's
not
just,
non-committal in 2020.
When I get back in, dude, just do it now. Just do it now.
If we don't start codifying some stuff, I'll lose my mind. Anyway,
completely.
Please continue.
And Trump allies outspend Harris 25-1 in the ad blitz, highlighting imbalance in early campaign efforts and also the racism.
Oh.
So.
And also the patriarchy.
Yes.
And all the sexism
and misogynoir and yes, all of the isms.
You guys make some things sound so sexy. Misogynoir.
Right. Those are worse things. Oh my gosh. So yeah, that's what we're covering today.
Yes,
also,
we are.
This Sunday, me and Cliff, we're back at it. No requests. It feels like it's every 2 weeks, but it is once a month. It just happens so frequently.
Released
what?
The theme.
One doesn't have a theme. Every other month is a theme. This one is a regular no request, which is still baller. The next month is the day party.
Right.
Right.
Back to Sunday's theme.
Yeah.
I have a request for no requests, and I'm hoping Cliff is listening. If you are, hop on the text messages, which probably needs to be our new soundbite for that. But so I would like a one queen bee,
right?
Versus
who was it again?
Who?
I can't remember you. I feel like you told me this.
Last no request because I had done some dumb brain stuff.
Okay.
I had mixed up camps.
Okay.
I was going to request that we did a Lil Kim and Rihanna off.
Yeah.
Which was because I had done the mix up in my brain.
Okay.
But if we went back to the day.
Which I still like.
Oh, it'd be beautiful.
Yeah.
If we went actually back to that time frame. Mm-hmm. You could remember that Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown did not F with each other.
No, quite the rivalry.
Quite. Maybe we could actually get them both to start their own or continue a beef and start putting out some beef battles and see if they could one-up Kendrick and Drake. My money's on Lil' Kim. We're about to get pulled off air.
I was just like a beef battles. This is great. This is great. Michelle said, oh, snap. I didn't even think about how Joe Biden might be freed up to do his actual job. Yes.
No, that actually is a huge perk, right?
Huge.
Big perk.
Huge perk. Oh, my God. You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM and in the Halem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. I'm going to hop into a music break.
I mean, we have to.
Yeah.
It is
mandatory. And then we'll come back with one of those three stories. We might just hop into the Biden one first. It might make sense to just hop into the Biden one first. We're already there.
Coming up, Phil Collins in the air tonight.
Okay, not this time, but that's the request. Exactly. And we are back. Welcome back to News by Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. We have Lily filling in for Morgan today. And migraines are also.
Yes.
And migraines are on duty for MJ, so she's got to sit this one out.
So she decided to give Am one by having me replace her.
Boom. Shout out to everybody that hopped on the live with us was that last week? It was over the week. It was over the weekend.
Yeah,
it was
yeah,
over
yeah.
The
oh,
when
yes.
Biden
announced withdrew. The things.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to everybody that hopped on a live stream with us. That was dope. We envision like doing more stuff like that in the future just because the show is once a week and so much news happens in between.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Being able to just check in with you guys, you know, throughout the week is really, really good with different topics popping up. And I can imagine, again, we are in the election season. It's going to be a roller coaster. There are going to be some things happening.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big, small, all the things.
All the things.
And it is one of those big ones, right? Like, it is big, big elections nationally.
Yes.
Big, big elections locally.
Absolutely. Especially for us here.
And all of the mess stuff everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah.
And it is. It is. And you're starting to feel the ramp up, right?
Yeah.
I'd like to close my eyes and ears and get through the summer. And
if you do that, you don't know what you're going to wake up on the other side of, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I was going to say, if you have a beating heart and two brain cells to rub together, we all really understand that that's not an option right now.
No,
it isn't. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oofta.
Yeah. I want to apologize if there's like any additional background noise. We just got some new chairs in here and I can't keep still.
Oh man.
They're really, really comfortable and the wheels work really well.
Have you seen an 8-year-old boy with a new pair of roller skates?
Yeah.
Well, that would be Am in
this
chair.
That's me in the chair right now. I'm just scooting all over the place.
Thanks, X-Ray, whoever donated them.
Shout out to the listeners. Whoever donated it or helped with fundraising to get us these new chairs. These are fantabulous.
Yes.
Yeah,
next right. time you could maybe help a little bit more and we could lay down some kind of flooring that makes that silent.
All right.
Do we start a fun drive now?
Okay.
A floor drive. If you guys achieve that, we'll put in live stream. You can literally see Am buzzing
doing
around.
Spins, doing donuts.
In the meantime, next time I'm here, we'll do some time-lapse video and we'll put that on News with My Fiance's Instagram page.
Bam. So all that to be said, make sure you're following News with My Fiance on Instagram.
I mean, are you?
For you know, those type of hijinks. And then also the news in between our broadcast. We also have been encouraged by our listeners, that you guys, we are listening.
Yes,
Brooke. And have been, you know, Michelle. Workshopping.
Detail.
Different, exactly. And workshopping different ideas around another day that we broadcast. It might not be on the air, but it'll definitely be like streamed somewhere.
Yeah.
A longer version of the show. So yeah, we're putting that together. Working on it. Really excited about it. And just again, shout out to everybody that did tune in to that live stream.
That was fun to watch.
Because that was helpful to light that fire again.
Oh yeah. Well, and if you are someone who just watches live streams in general, no matter how big the platform or following, right? what was super exciting about that was, you know, you're looking at how many people are watching and you're maybe hoping that there were more. You're excited about who's there. But the interaction, like, yeah, it was just like bam, bam, bam messages. Yes. And the people within the thread are like
talking to each other.
And it wasn't just a bunch of like hearts that you guys are doing your thing.
Yeah.
So that was really fun to watch.
I'm telling you, man, our audience is awesome. You guys are super amazing.
Engaged.
I just wish that once you exported the video, you shared it. Once it sits on your profile,
right,
that all the conversation should just be comments.
For sure.
But
it should
not.
Just drop down
it
to that.
Just drop down to the comments. Yeah. I feel like at some point it used to. I know it did that. It used to do that on Facebook.
Right.
For
right,
sure it does it on Facebook.
Yeah.
You go live on Facebook.
Yeah, and you would
but
think.
Yeah, it's like, why wouldn't that just be there?
I don't know. Did you guys, my favorite part probably of that whole thing was AM's camera work in the beginning, where he is all of our fathers, whose thumb is in front of the viewfinder, and I was just like, "Well, hell's bells!"
Oh, oh my God.
He's so good at that.
And it was funny because when I rewatched, I was like, "Wait, that's in there?" Oh, sir.
You know,
anyway, to clip this out, edit this, just no, all right. Okay. Yeah, true dad there. True.
And that's why I'm here. Point the finer things out. The little things. The things that matter in life. The details.
The things that leave the impression of
it. Like a thumbprint.
Oh my gosh.
On your viewfinder.
So, all right, we're gonna hop into this Biden story. Biden calling for Supreme Court reform in the final 6 months of his presidency. How convenient. President Biden announced on Wednesday that he plans to advocate for Supreme Court reform during his remaining 6 months in office. This declaration came as part of his first on-camera remarks from the Oval Office since announcing on Sunday that he would not seek re-election. Biden detailed his reasons for ending his candidacy and laid out his priorities for the rest of the team. Over the next 6 months, I'll be focused on doing my job as president, Biden said. He emphasized key goals, including lowering costs, growing the economy, addressing extremism, securing peace, and the release of hostages in Gaza, and combating the climate crisis.
In 6 months.
Woo!
He's
going to change the whole world. It's like he's campaigning in and campaigning out.
Here's the thing. If we get any portion of this done in 6 months, I think we have a whole view on what's currently wrong. What is achievable?
Yeah.
As president in 4 years.
It's like you set yourself up, bro. Additionally, he stated, I'm going to call for Supreme Court reform because this is critical to our democracy. Oy, oy. Reports from multiple outlets indicate that Biden is considering proposals such as establishing term limits for Supreme Court justices and creating an enforceable ethics code for the high court. This marks a significant shift for Biden, who has historically resisted progressive calls for Supreme Court reform out of concern that it would politicize the judiciary. Too late has happened.
You know, the hitch and the giddy up that just happened there in my brain was like, I'm worried that the reality will happen.
Bruh.
It is what it is.
We're shoulders deep in it.
That is why it is so important for a president to be able to place it. That what you can say that that's a nonpartisan job.
Of course.
If it is,
it's supposed to be
for real a nonpartisan job, then you no one should be fearful of what the other side is going to do were a seat to come up.
Right.
Right? So snap back to reality.
Right. We've all been very fearful again because of the reality of the situation is it's partisan.
It is.
Yeah, like let's stop like, you know, lying to ourselves.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court.
I'm glad he's gonna tackle that. Sorry.
Right. The Supreme Court with its 6-3 conservative majority has issued several landmark decisions in recent years. These include overturning Roe v. Wade, ending affirmative action, and granting wide immunity to former President Trump for actions taken while in office. These decisions have sparked significant debate and controversy across the political spectrum. Liberals have expressed outrage over reports involving Justice Clarence Thomas, who allegedly accepted tens of thousands of dollars worth of hospitality, luxury travel, and other forms, other favors from a conservative donor. This scandal has further fueled calls for increased accountability and transparency within the Supreme Court.
When does it allegedly become fact?
Allegedly is one of my, like the most irritating words for me.
Like, I know we have to say it, right? Yeah. But who courts or who supremes the Supreme Court?
Right.
Who?
Right.
You know what I mean? Anyway, like, let's continue.
Right. But I always feel, not always, but I often feel allegedly challenges reality with the way it's used. It challenges my, like, my sanity.
Yes.
Like, I'm watching this happen on video.
Right.
I'm putting two and two together. And now what is easily understandable to be four for everyone else, because we said allegedly 2 + 2 now equals 7, or at least could equal 7. It's like, no.
No, no.
The answer is clearly 4. I've seen this on video.
Yes.
There's nothing to allege.
Yeah.
I don't, it's, yeah.
Me either. Because it does. It takes any validity of the reality out, or just it may not take it out, but it's like
doubt. Yeah,
you know, someone else might perceive this to be a 7.
Yeah, no,
and you don't want to argue with that dude, and you certainly don't want that dude to sue you.
Right.
So
right,
allegedly.
Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Biden's decision to push for Supreme Court reform reflects growing concern among Democrats about the court's direction and its impact on American democracy. Establishing term limits with an ethics code are seen as measures to ensure the court remains fair and impartial. Despite his reluctance in the past, Biden's embrace of Supreme Court reform may energize progressive voters and advocates who have long pushed for these changes. It remains to be seen how proposals will be received by Congress and the public in the coming months.
You know, it's so frustrating to me. In a time of need for a person in any sort of power, or who has decided, and I, you know, I'm not going to say that Joe Biden hasn't done some things to affect some change. I'm not going to say that. But he is, much like when he was running in 2020, he realized that he needed the black vote. And so all of a sudden he tries to energize a base he wasn't necessarily interested in even gentle stimulation before. Now, and maybe it's because he could just focus on his job for the next 6 months. He's going to try to energize a base of progressives into voting for, you know, his, whoever the Democrats chosen successor, by doing something like actually having meaningful conversation about the where our Supreme Court is and what moves can be made. And so why not throughout these last 4 years?
Right.
I don't, it feels unserious. It feels super performative, pandering, and real change isn't going to come. They'll get votes and still nothing will happen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, that's part of why this is hilarious to watch. Like, it's so disingenuous. So we watch them do this as Biden campaigned into the presidency.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they took some of the issues that were, you know, really important to progressives.
Right.
Basically stole, like, half of Bernie's playbook. Ran with that stuff. And then got in and just didn't do any of it. So, yeah. And they made excuses this entire time
as to why they couldn't do these things. Your commitment isn't energizing your base the entire time you're in office.
It's ridiculous.
Why is it talking points for campaigning? Like, anyhow.
Yeah. You have the ability to cash in on the issues that are important to us.
Yeah.
The entire term that you're in there.
Yes.
You could be building support. Your approval rating could be constantly rising because you are doing the things you said you were going to do.
Absolutely.
Instead, what we're left with, you guys, the Democrats, pointing the finger at the Republicans saying, look at what the scary other guys are doing. Make sure you don't, you know, make sure you support us and don't support them, or else you're going to get all that scary stuff. And also, guess what? Now we're going to do some stuff if you vote for us again, we'll do everything that you asked us to do last time.
Right.
And it's like, dude, like, seriously, the whole idea of trying to, and I think it makes sense to try to do it to, you know, boost up any progressive support you can, garner any progressive support you can. Sure. Absolutely. You need every vote right now. Because you've been polling behind, the Dems have been polling behind Trump this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So, one of the things progressive have been asking for is for Biden to drop out for months.
Oh, absolutely.
For months.
Yes. Is it weird? Did we see the writing on the wall?
Yeah.
Come on.
Right. So now that, you know, it's finally happened. Okay, cool. It's really, really late down the road. Makes it hard for anyone. But, I think since Kamala announced, they've raised a great deal of money.
Yeah.
38,000 new registered voters. Like, things are happening.
She's got
over 100,000 volunteers popped up. It's going to be a short campaign, but it's going to be an energized one. For sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, my other thing is, though, that we... So, it does appear that Kamala's the front runner, right?
Yeah.
But the way that she's moving is if she is, right?
Absolutely.
And I'm here for that. And I also feel like if there are any other hats that are being thrown in the ring, we got to handle this scandal immediately so we can completely back and push forward whoever the delegates and superdelegates ultimately choose.
I think she has the ability to move with the confidence of being the nominee because of the amount of support she's seen from the rest of the party thus far. Like, at this point, it's just trying to figure out who the VP is going to be. And from what I understand, there's like a list of like 12 possibles right now.
Yeah, and I've looked over some of the names, and there's a... Who is that?
It's a lot of that for me.
Which kind of always happens, I guess, when we are figuring out who's going to be picked as VP. But also, I feel like right now, what the Dems need is no ambiguity.
Yeah.
You need energy. You need charisma. You need intelligence. You need a certain amount of showboating, right?
Yep.
In order to energize a really, you know, kind of, whoa, what's happening, freaked out base.
Definitely freaked out.
So
definitely
hopefully it's not a snooze, whoever she chooses is not a snooze cruise, because she's got a lot of chips stacked against her, and, you know, financially too.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Luckily, she does get to move forward with the money that's been raised for Biden. Still, this, you know, part of the same ticket. So she does have that.
Okay.
That she can
move into. They've ironed that part out.
They have ironed that out.
Okay.
And then the additional money that's been raised. But I'm going to tell you, I have been seeing Kamala ads everywhere.
Oh, me too.
It's killing my YouTube. It's killing Instagram. Like, it's everywhere.
Me too. So, and I want them to be more exciting. I don't know what your algorithm is sending you.
Correct.
I'm getting behind. It almost looks like behind the presidential desk in the Oval Office.
That's
having
one.
Right?
That's
and, I'm like, I see what we're doing visually.
Yeah.
Like, I'm already here.
Right.
Let's just let me run this.
Yeah.
But I need some pizzazz.
Yeah, pizzazz. Light it up some. Yeah, for sure. So, you know, fingers crossed.
Hold up, damn, real quick. Did you hear that her, like the song that she comes out to is, okay.
Is what?
Are we moving? Like Lily, don't even. Freedom, Beyonce and Kendrick. Oh,
I did.
Is it true?
Hear that.
Listeners, text massage us whether that's the truth or not.
I did hear something like that, and I'm like, okay.
Right?
I don't need this. Listen, you guys already know, like, I am voting against Trump. I'm not voting for the Dems. Like, I don't need this. This is the one thing that Morgan and I both were saying, okay, so we're going to just prepare ourselves for the ramp up in excitement that existed around Obama's campaign. I was also caught up in that as a younger voter out there at the rallies. Sure was. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely amazing back in Philly.
The energy.
I am going to try as much as possible to not rain on anyone else's parade. And for this, it's a historical moment, you know, and for a lot of people, they identify with Kamala. Like, this is representation from head to toe.
Yeah.
And you know what? I love that for y'all. So,
yeah.
Stop Trump. Yay.
You're saying is she just needs to continue on the momentum that Kendrick has created.
Yes.
And she comes out to Not Like Us. Yeah. She asks Kendrick to rewrite the Family Matters as the Trump family, and he addresses each one of them with all the tea, all the innuendo, all the facts.
That would be kind of dope. That would be kind of dope.
That would.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you, and Morgs, in that thought process. It's exciting in some respects, and if I really believed, even though there are certain things that I don't rock with Kamala-wise, right? Mm-hmm. If I believed wholeheartedly or even half-heartedly that by her getting in and becoming president actually propped the door open.
Right. Right.
I would super rock.
Of course.
Right? Because that is progressive. That is progression. That is moving the needle forward.
But then there's reality.
And the reality for me is, you know, the pendulum swing.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, we're 4 years into the future. We don't have to go there. We do have to, however.
Take a music break.
We do.
We'll take a music break.
So.
I want to come back and do that Renee story next.
We do. We need to cover the local.
Yeah. Give us a national break.
So, next up. Mm-hmm. We are going to be listening to the one and only Tom Jones.
What?
Oh, yeah. It's time for some lounge music in the morning.
Okay. So I'll find some. Because I've already got something lined up. Based on something you said earlier, though. I think you'll be impressed.
Well, help out.
We'll catch you on the other side of the break.
You want more views from Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush?
You know you do.
Then I suggest tuning in to News with My Fiance sister show, Views with My Fiance. Just look up Views with My Fiance on your favorite podcatcher app.
Do it!
For real.
Come on, you easy lovers out there. Yeah. Welcome back to News About Fiance.
Oh my gosh. When Morgan's here, your audience are the fiancés.
They are the fiancés.
When I'm here, they're the easy
lovers.
They're
the easy lovers. I love it.
You know, I am the Scorpio in the bunch, so it only makes sense, right? Easy lovers. Hashtag easy lovers is going to be trending.
I love it.
By the time Tom Hartman takes over.
Shout out to all you easy lovers out there. I love it. I love it. This is amazing.
I can't wait until this actually becomes like Portland's nonprofit radio station West Side Story. And we have the fiancés versus the easy lovers. We can compete in fundraising donations. The easy lovers are always going to win. We can have full beef battles.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
Can we also do like a field day? Whereas we beat you guys in kickball and tug of war.
Okay. Oof.
Yeah.
Then we have you in the three-legged race and the pie eating contest. Don't we, easy lovers?
Easy lovers.
We'll take you in the pie eating contest all day.
All day. All day.
Fiancés don't know nothing about that. They're looking forward to cake. We got you with the pie eating contest. Oh my gosh. Back in the day, did you guys have like in field day, well, maybe not field day, but like neighborhood competitions? I just remembered there was such a thing as bed racing. Have you ever heard of that?
I'm sorry.
I don't even know. Bed racing? Yes. And these, they were like legit beds. It was kind of like build your own, the cars.
Oh, like a go-kart?
Right. But they were beds on casters, and you people would be in the bed, and then you had people pushing the beds down Portland streets.
No.
If Portland, if you know what I'm talking about, please text in, because what if this was a fever dream? And it's
bed racing.
It is ingrained in my brain and it never existed.
It sounds extremely Portland, though.
It does.
I'm not going to doubt the existence of bed racing.
I'm just going to say that the EC Lovers would get you with the bed racing team.
All that to say,
putting in work.
Defeated by the EC Lovers. To be clear. Wow. Okay. Now that sounds super Portland.
You know who isn't an EC Lover?
Who? Oops.
Renee Gonzalez.
No, I don't. It's not easy to love that person. No. For some voters, Renee Gonzalez's recent nod to a right-wing media personality and provocateur seemed on brand, as his disdain for anti-fascist protesters and police critics sometimes echoes rhetoric heard on Fox News. To others, the Portland City Commissioner. Say again?
Why would he ever watch that? Mm. That's a long time, right. Lifelong.
Portlander, was it independent Democrat or whatever he says, mm-hmm. Whatever day of the week it is. To others, the Portland City Commissioner and mayoral candidate's appreciation for a divisive figure who previously aligned himself with far right militia groups crossed a line. Gonzalez, who bills himself as a lifelong Democrat, took to social media on Sunday, July 21st. To embrace the news that President Biden would end his reelection bid and instead endorse Vice President Kamala Harris in the upcoming presidential election. He said, "We need to unite to defeat Donald Trump." He wrote that in a statement from his campaign. The nation cannot endure another 4 years of divisive, hateful politics that hurt so many and threaten our democracy.
I wish I believed him.
I know.
Please continue.
The current commissioner, one of three on this Portland City Council running to be Portland's next mayor.
Jumping ship.
Right. Expressed deep appreciation for President Biden's strength of character and leadership and said Harris has the experience and track record of accomplishment required to take the helm and lead our country at this critical moment in our history.
As long as she doesn't sit next to him on a Trimax.
Because then she could be accused of assault.
Well, you know.
Yeah. Gonzalez's post was rather unremarkable, but his response to a reply in the thread stood out. Gonzalez's post elicited criticism from right-wing writer Andy Ngo.
That.
Writer, loosely using that term.
Jam.
Known for filming anti-fascist protesters during clashes with alt-right groups like Patriot Prayer. Love critics argue that Ngo's videos and his Antifa-centered book deliver distorted truths and inflated hyperbolic assessments about the perceived threat of anti-fascists to American democracy. And, you know, contended it was local Democratic leadership that allowed the violence to happen during 2020's prolonged racial justice protests and anti-fascist demonstrations, necessitating Trump's intervention with federal troops.
Okay, did you ever go down there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Went down there.
Man. Those federal agents were really something else.
Yeah, I was down there, like, during the daytime, like, cruising past, because this is all happening while we're working at the museum.
Yeah.
And then I was, you know, in contact with a lot of protesters and some youth that were telling me what was happening as far as, like, you know, unmarked vans, people just getting picked up and just, like...
I mean, like...
What are y'all doing? What are you doing?
That stuff we see in the movies.
Right.
Right?
Like, come on with that, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In reality, federal officers were skewed by local authorities, with the mayor and state attorney general filing suit against federal agencies for their practice of detaining protesters in unmarked vans. The aforementioned unmarked vans. Still, Gonzalez acquiesced, stating, "Antifa have terrorized my family and my city." I appreciate you calling a spade and recognizing you and recognize you for have recognized you have been terrorized for it and acknowledging Trump kicked us when we were down. The discourse was a non sequitur for an elected official in Portland, showing sympathy for someone listed in the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate watch tracker.
Well, that's not a, you know, legitimate group.
Yeah. That would typically be a political misstep. Showing appreciation could be a death knell. However, Gonzalez has built a solid base of conservative supporters despite his public support for a Democrat in the White House. What's more, he shares something in common with Noe. Both are considered enemies among Portland's progressive and have reported instances of politically motivated harassment or assault. Earlier this year, Gonzalez was a victim of suspected arson when someone set fire to a car parked outside his home. The Multnomah County District Attorney's Office speculated it could have been a political detractor targeting Gonzalez. Last year,
could have. Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Use it there. There we go. I like that use. Last year, Noe faced a group of anti-fascist protesters he tried to sue for alleged assault and battery. Despite these attacks, Gonzalez's nod to Noe has been denounced by political groups and influential figures, highlighting the broader issue of big money influence in politics. Mm. Portland for All, a volunteer-run group aimed at fostering civic engagement, was among the first to confront Gonzalez's validation of Noe. If Gonzalez thinks Andy Noe calls a spade and is a legitimate news source, we have a serious problem.
Huge.
Yeah, the group posted. Andre Oswell, the board chair, emphasized Noe's history of aligning with harmful figures. Similarly, the Independent Party of Oregon questioned if Portland's business community will continue funding Gonzalez's campaign given his controversial stance. Despite angering a broad swath of voters, Gonzalez remains the fundraising leader, having garnered over 166,000 in donations since launching his mayoral campaign last year. The extent to which the online vitriol will affect Gonzalez's standing in the November elections remains to be seen.
Okay, so there's a decent amount to talk about here. Yeah. And of course, since we spent the first hour and a half talking about a video game, not at my request at all.
Hello.
He has raised $166,000 in donation since his launch. That's it?
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem super low?
Yeah.
Does that sound like people don't care for him? Or do you think it actually has more to do with the fact that we did have that, you know, what was it, May or beginning of June, where we all had the elections, right? And we were voting for, so there was a huge, huge focus on funding the potential DA.
Yeah. I can't remember how much money got spent in that, but that was a lot of bread.
A lot of bread. And a lot of bread that came in from outside Oregon donors, right? Yeah. Like big, big, big donors.
Yep.
So I'm kind of surprised, especially since he and Gonzalez are real aligned, that we're not seeing a bigger figure here.
I think what might be happening is we're going to see that figure swell.
Oh, huge.
You know.
Oh, yeah, and likely overnight, especially since we're exposing them on this huge platform that we have. Right. Yeah. But yeah, no, here, let's talk a little bit about Gonzalez so what we're seeing locally, we're seeing with all sorts of leaders on a national scale. And part of this is when Trump was elected in 2016, my immediate fear, as I cried in my high schooler's teacher parent conference the next morning, were the things that we all fear, right? What became like really quickly those kind of the more obvious fears was really quickly overtaken by how he dismantled any norm, right? All of a sudden, there is no presidential decorum.
None.
There is no, even fake apology for, you know, all of a sudden denouncing certain things is not going to uproot your completely dismantle yeah. anything you're working on, yeah. right? I mean, he didn't have to denounce the leader of the KKK from endorsing him.
At all. I mean, there was a time, like, to your point, there was a time when politicians being spicy on Twitter wasn't a thing.
Oh, no.
And I remember when it first started happening, I was like, you're an elected official. Y'all gotta chill.
Yeah.
First off, why are you on Twitter? Why are you talking like this? It's like...
Be number two.
Gramps, do you not understand these words are here forever? You gotta watch what you're saying on Twitter.
Well, like, and so to your point,
right?
At that moment, I don't think they did understand it was going to be there forever. And then we had Trump, who was like, let it be there forever.
Yeah,
right. Like, care. I'm a double down.
Right.
And whatever I say, you'll believe and you'll high five and you'll follow. And it changed this whole any rules. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so
shifted the landscape. Yeah.
Yeah. So now you can retweet someone who, you know, I'm not going to say that Gonzalez doesn't know who Andy Ngo is.
Yeah, he knows.
He knows who he is. But you can't even do a, I'm going to retract that, or you don't have to do a, I'm going to retract because I had no idea who this guy was affiliated with or what he was actually doing in our own city, right? Right. Now he just gets to do that kind of F stuff.
Yeah.
And move forward and continue to run a successful campaign.
Yeah.
And that's wild to me.
Yeah. And I, we say it a lot on the show, and I'm just going to keep saying it over and over again. Like, we have to hold people accountable, especially when things like that are happening, like, right in our face. Like, the laundry list of issues a voter should have with Renee is long. And they're not, like, slip-ups and trip-ups. Like,
no,
he has said things that should make you completely disengage with him as a civic leader. Nevertheless, laugh at his hubris in running for mayor. Like, it's like, in what reality should this person be allowed to be our mayor?
Oh, absolutely. You guys, need I remind you, he
please,
said,
please do.
He said about a city that he cares so much.
Right.
And to run, he said, I'm worried about this new form of city council because there are not 12 people in Portland who are smart enough, let alone qualified, to be a city council member.
And here's the thing, right? Let's say that's how you feel, for real, for real. And I believe that's how you felt, Renee. Why is it that he gets to have conversations about anything else ever?
Ever.
And the media isn't constantly making him respond to that. Like, sir, you need to either take it back or add some clarity to what you meant.
Right.
But you should not be allowed to just continue on and pop up at Pride celebrations
and garner any kind of, I hate to use the word respect, but to be taken seriously at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is absolutely mind-boggling to me that that is where we're at.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling to me that he is, is the front runner.
Yeah. That's just money talking, though.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. And more and more and more and more and more we get to really fully understand how much money controls. And I just can't wait for the population in general to get as frustrated with white mediocrity as I am.
That'd be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, more of that frustration would be nice. I am going to resist the urge for another music break to get this last story in. I think will take us to the end of the show.
We're about to do... We're going to do a speed version. We're going to talk really, 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 really fast, like that one guy who used to do commercials back in the day.
Micro Machines guy.
Yes!
Yeah! I know who you're talking about. Exactly you're talking about, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think there's like a mini documentary on that guy, too.
There's got to be.
Yeah. He was so awesome.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, so President Biden on Wednesday outlined his plans for his final 6 months in office, including a call for Supreme Court reform. However, the political landscape is rapidly shifting as Vice President Kamala Harris, now the Democratic Party's likely presidential nominee, faces a massive advertising onslaught from Trump and his allies. An AP analysis, Associated Press analysis, revealed that Republicans are outspending Democrats 25-1 on ads. With over $68 million spent by Trump's team compared to just $2.6 million by Harris supporters. And of course this all makes sense because, you know, things just started.
And also makes sense because he just lived through a nearly fatal ear wound.
And I want to be clear here.
Allegedly.
I think allegedly. he was allegedly shot. I want to be clear for the show, and I'm pretty sure I can speak for Morgan in this respect as well. We believe that Trump was injured. We do not believe that he was shot. There have been conversations about the bullet hitting the teleprompter, and the glass from the teleprompter is what he was injured by. Because every demonstration that we've seen that shows what type of bullet was used, the caliber of bullet that was used.
He wouldn't have an ear?
Yeah, he was sustained a lot more damage than what we were seeing.
I said we would do this super fast, so I will be really fast. In real time, when I watched that, do you know what I thought happened?
What?
I thought he had the earpiece in, as you would. I thought they probably said, like, shots or like, duck.
And he went down.
I thought he grabbed his ear, like, to grab the earpiece and ducked down. And for any of us who are lucky enough to have our parents... Mm. Get into their 70s, their skin gets so fragile.
Oh, yeah.
If my mom tugged on her ear too hard, she would bleed.
Yeah.
And that is literally what I thought happened.
Wow.
Just putting it out there, guys. My mom can, like, brush a doorknob, and she's like, ah, no, I need a Band-Aid. It just, like, her skin is super, super thin. No, anywho.
This is a good point.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he tore his own ear off.
Yeah. Sarah Longwell, co-founder of Republican Voters Against Trump, warned of the urgency for Harris to define herself quickly. Public opinions form quickly, Longwell noted, emphasizing the critical nature of the next 3 weeks. Current ads attacking Harris blame her for issues like inflation and immigration, claiming Kamala owns this failed record, according to MAGA Inc. Just days into her new role, Harris is already facing a barrage of Republican-backed attack ads questioning her record in association with President Biden's tenure. Despite the intense Republican ad campaign, Democrats have not yet engaged in the summertime advertising fight. This marks a sharp reversal from earlier in the year when Democrats dominated the airwaves. This disparity in spending, more than $68 million by Republicans versus the $2.6 by Democrats, is significant and highlights the current imbalance. Harris' spokesperson, Kevin Munoz, responded to the spending gaps by stating that the vice president will take her case aggressively and highlighted Harris's recent successes, including breaking fundraising records and putting abortion rights front and center. Harris's team raised $100 million within 24 hours of Biden's endorsement, with donor commitments of $150 million led by Super PAC Future Forward. Some of the attack ads may already be shaping public perception, though. Biden's allies have expressed concerns about a new ad from Pennsylvania Republican Senate candidate Dave McCormick, describing Harris as the most liberal nominee ever. The ad focuses on her progressive positions and ends with audio of Harris's laugh, a frequent target of Republican criticism.
Harris having known for their laugh. I take offense.
Harris having progressive positions just sounds weird to me. Like the whole sentence.
Oh yeah.
In what view?
I was gonna say we're talking about fundraising right now, and I'm reading along with you, Am, and I'm like, I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about this. Anyway, please continue.
Trump's campaign, backed by super PACs such as Preserve America and MAGA Inc., has reserved substantial ad buys amounting to that $68 million through the end of August. Meanwhile, Democrats have recently halted their advertising spending after intense efforts to support Biden before his decision to step aside. And there was also that halt
because in
ads because of the shooting.
Yeah, it's just so crazy how everything is lining up so
well. Perfectly. Harris and their allies are expected to ramp up their advertising soon, while current Democratic ad reservations total the 2.6 that we talked about earlier through August. Future Forward is set to begin a $129 million advertising campaign in September. For now, however, the ad landscape is dominated by Republican efforts, leaving Harris to counterbalance a significant narrative challenge in the upcoming weeks. I will say some of the coverage I've seen so far of the attack ads and just also some conversations with MAGA voters, it is the same talking point of this is a DEI candidate. She's not qualified. She's not smart enough for the job. This is what they're listing as their immediate, quote unquote, legitimate concerns for having her in the White House, having Harris in the White House, which is,
you know, I don't believe any of that. Right.
Right.
What they need to be concerned about, actually, especially when it comes to the fundraising portion of this, is something that we touched on when I was here, I don't know, like a month or so ago with both you and Morgs, is people need to understand that the black and brown communities in general will spend money on supporting whatever it is that they do. They're and in a lot of respects, they have to. Right.
Right.
So if Kamala really could get on her Bernie, her small donor possibilities are absolute nutty buddy.
Yeah.
And could blow his, you know, keep the billionaires happy donations out of the absolute water.
Yeah.
Huge, huge, huge. So, you know, I guess ultimately I'm not as worried about, you know, the chips that each side will stack and more interested in what they will do when they get in there.
Yeah, I feel like overall just the announcement of her campaign, bit of energy. Much needed energy into the left. And it did make progressives feel heard for a couple of reasons. One, Biden dropped out, which you've been asking for God knows how long. And then for Kamala to be the replacement is huge.
It really is.
It's historic.
It is.
So, you know, for a lot of people that just want to see something different, that was a slam dunk.
100.
Easy slam dunk for them. We did get a text from Bob. I think this was a reference to our Renee coverage. You're making me happy that I live in Milwaukee. You know what? I messes with that, Bob.
Hey, Bob, I've heard the grass is green out there and the air is fine. I actually like being a Northeast Portland
gal,
if you will. The tried and truest of us have said we would never move out of Northeast Portland.
Right, right.
And besides, like getting priced out and all of the things and stuff, I have so many friends and family in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And it's a gorgeous place.
It is. You know what else is out there? Some of the best cheesesteaks this side of the Oregon state line.
I thought you were going to say the mighty Mississippi. Let's drop the name.
They used to be called 13 Virtues. Now they're Philadelphia's Steaks and Hoagies.
That's where we're going after this, guys.
Like
they're opening early for us.
Well, they have long roll breakfast sandwiches.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, they do East Coast long roll breakfast sandwiches in the morning, and that's till I believe 10:30 or 11. I think it's 10:30.
Okay.
And then
you can
get hoagies, you can get cheesesteaks.
Really?
And you already know I love the rolls over there.
Hey, guys, just so everybody knows before we take off, because Tom is itching.
Yeah.
He's like, come on, ambushing Morgan. next Thursday, this is a big announcement. Next Thursday, we are going to have a judging of Oregon Philly cheese steaks. Okay. So we're going to need every single one of you. Drop it off.
Okay.
Thursday morning. AM will do a live taste test and rating of what we have to offer for cheese steaks.
So we're going to have to do that because we can't eat in here. So we
can,
but no, we can shoot that as separate content.
Are we can live stream communism? It.
No.
I feel oppressed in here.
It's not communism.
Could this be our next live?
It's literally, we have to take care of the equipment.
Fair.
Okay.
Fair. This is why we can have nice things. Eat cheesesteaks in here.
Since you want to be so anti-establishment.
Antifa up in this bee.
Someone shouted out. Shout out to Philadelphia's. Yes, those steaks are so good.
Okay, that will be the next live, guys.
We got to. And for anyone that may not know this, I don't know. I think I've mentioned this on the show before. I stumbled across their sister's location when I was doing deliveries for direct transport.
Do you mean literal sister?
No. Sisters,
Oregon.
I was in Sisters, Oregon.
I'm back on track, guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, we got a sibling rivalry of cheesesteak businesses. Sorry, Sisters, Oregon. Yeah.
So I came across that location and I walked in and it was like Philadelphia paraphernalia all over the place. I'm like, this is weird.
I'm sorry. But is it always sunny in here?
Right? And it felt like I was in South Philly. And talked to one of the proprietors. They were actually working that day, and they gave me the whole backstory on how they came about, and you know where they're from, and what part of Philadelphia. I think the husband's from Philadelphia, and the wife is from New York.
Okay,
but they've been here a while, and they were saying that they used to fly the rolls out, the Amoroso rolls from the East Coast, and you know after that stopped working out for them. They actually started working with Fred Meyers, and they developed the recipe.
Shut the front door.
I lie to you not. So the rolls that are there are a result of a recipe they worked on with Fred Meyers for years till they got it the way they wanted it.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, shout out to the person that said, shout out to Philadelphia. Like, they know. Like, the rolls are so good, we used to just go buy rolls.
Yeah, so you could make your own hoagies.
Bruh.
Don't get caught in Am's kitchen.
Ugh.
Also, but for real, we're gonna have to do that.
I'm down with that.
DJ NPC because
when
she's in town, like we've talked about, you and her have differing opinions about number one.
And I'm questioning. I mean, I don't know. She's from DC, so I'm questioning the fact that she could have that cheesesteak from Philadelphia Steaks and be like, nah, this isn't it for me. Excuse me.
Normally, I would defer to the Philadelphian.
NPC gets
she can do everything.
Yeah. So, like, I'll say this now. My top three.
Yeah.
Philadelphia cheese and steak.
And this is in no particular order.
No particular order.
Okay.
Grant's Philly cheesesteak, which is in Northwest.
Okay.
And Steakadelphia. That's the.
And Steakadelphia. At some point was in.
They were on Powell.
Yes.
And there was one. They had the club, Mango Lounge downtown, and they were selling the steaks there. But now they have a Beaverton location.
Ooh, Beaverton's in the
Exactly. So you got Powell and Beaverton.
This is going to be. This could end up being a battle of the suburbs.
It could. The battle of the cheesesteaks.
We're going to need them hot, delivered hot. Properly wrapped.
Yes. And, properly chopped.
And any of those businesses that have IGs, y'all can stream it too.
Let's do it. I'm down. This sounds great.
I'll DJ.
This is type of. Okay. Now we're talking. You listen to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in the Halen, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Lilith, thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. Hey guys.
This was so much easier than doing it solo.
Okay, I thought you were going to say it was so much easier than doing it with Morgan.
Oh, I'm not getting in trouble.
No. No. I'm not saying that. I'll be back next Thursday. Turns out I got hired while I was here. And I can't wait to
HR.
Engage with y'all again.
Hello. Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what's your squad? The
Easy Lover.
Easy Lover.
Y'all, he really tried to forget what my squad is.
Okay. All right. So.
I love you, brother in love.
I love you too. So that was This Is My Fiance, brought to you today by Lily and DJ Ambush. Shout out to our podcast editor, Kyle G. The playlist has already been updated. I see Kyle in the working doc right now. So
hi, we Kyle. Get the text
added in there. Thank you very much.
Kyle's an easy lover.
Man. Oh, really? Oh, really? You're recruiting already? You're just straight out recruiting?
He's been hired.
Right? So you know how it is. Don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.